El programa. Retro al futuro. Es un evento que en 2002 sobre las ruinas de la Exposición Federal, las repúblicas de Montaner, es una de las bases de una unión. Sus relaciones no eran muy sólidas, ya que América fue prácticamente todo independiente por ser contada por los gobiernos, parlamentos, presidentes, gobernadores, líderes y de asuntos exteriores. Moneda y sistema de dinero propio. El pasado 21 de mayo, los montenegrinos se presentaron en gran número a los gobiernos y la gran mayoría votaron a favor de la separación de Serbia. El referéndum para la independencia de la República de Montenegro representa el capítulo final de la reconocimiento de los Estados Unidos, claves de los Balcanes. Tras haber convivido prácticamente 88 años en Serbia, el reciente conflicto evidenció que esta pequeña república que está unida del mar Adriático va a ser la parte propia de Serbia. Echamos una mirada retrospectiva, recordemos que el reino de Montenegro se sumó al reino común de los serbios, croatas y eslovenos, a finales de la Primera Guerra Mundial. De su unión resultando el reino de Yugoslavia.
En la región, ya desde la Edad Media temprana, hay testimonios sobre la existencia de formas estatales conocidas desde la gran misión de los príncipes de Duclia.
Following news about Iran and the United States lately. Now, is it true, he writes, that Iran has supported the Chechen rebels?
Well, this is the first time I've heard of it. Iran has long been accused by the United States of harboring all kinds of Islamist extremists and militants. But I have yet to hear of Tehran having anything to do with Chechen separatists. The reason appears to be very simple. Iran has invested politically and economically in Moscow so much that it could hardly risk ruining its otherwise healthy relationship with Russia. Ever since the Russian ambassador, Alexander Gribojanov, was mauled to death in Tehran by an enraged Iranian rabble in 1829, I hadn't heard of any trouble in Russia's relationship with Iran. In Tsarist times, for example, Russian Cossacks served as personal bodyguards to Persian rulers. And even under the pro-American Iranian Shah, Reza Pahlavi, Moscow enjoyed a perfectly cordial relationship with Tehran. And when the Iranian rulers overthrew the Shah in 1979, Russia continued business as usual with Iran. So sorry to disappoint you about that lack of mischief on the part of those wily Iranians toward my country. On the whole, Iran has behaved as a responsible citizen, I would say, in Russia's neighborhood. That is, however, not to say about neighboring Turkey, though, which is known to have provided a safe haven and even training to Chechen separatists. And some Turkish citizens are known to have fought on the side of Chechen gunmen against the Russian federal and local authorities in Chechnya. Russian air and seagoing vessels were seized by Chechen gunmen on Turkish territory. I'm of the impression that you may have had in mind Turkey rather than Iran in your question.
In another letter, it's from Mr. Gordon Hall again. He writes, I read with interest the commentary on urgent issues about an article in the magazine Foreign Affairs. I have the magazine myself, and I have read the article mentioned. Since World War II, the United States has invaded a number of different countries at different times. Can there be any assurance that the United States might not use nuclear weapons sometime in the future? Consider, for example, the case of Iran. I think, right, Mr. Ball, you can see what I'm getting at. Yuri.
Yeah, I do see what you're getting at, Mr. Ball. But this question would be best addressed to policy and decision makers in Washington. They are the ones to decide. We have heard repeatedly from U.S. officials that they would prefer to resolve the Iranian nuclear issue by diplomatic, peaceful means, rather than resort to a force of arms in the case of Iran. That would be ideal for the United States and the world community as a whole. But U.S. officials have also said they're keeping their options open for any eventuality. But in my view, that would be the last-ditch solution of the problem, and God forbid that the United States are forced to resort to it, hopefully now.
More letters are yours from Canada and from our listeners in British Columbia. Sorry, Duan and Pamela Duff. All right. During World War II, the German armies were trying to reach the Caucasus region to obtain the oil vessels, but were stopped at Stalingrad. Is oil still a major commodity of the Russian area of the Caucasus? Are there other major commodities produced in the region?
Actually, when the German armies were trying to reach the Caucasus region during World War II, their primary goal was to reach the oil fields in Azerbaijan, which they never did. And today it is still a major oil producer. There are also sizable oil deposits in Chechnya, some of the oldest deposits long mined in Russia. But Chechen oil deposits are limited by Russian standards, and currently just over 2 million tons of oil is produced a year. Chechnya also has some natural gas deposits, and last year up to 530 million cubic meters of gas was produced in Chechnya. Because Chechnya is a small republic, those volumes of oil and gas are sufficient for its own use, as well as some for deliveries elsewhere in Russia. By comparison, the rest of Russia produces over 470 million tons of oil last year, for example. And Russia has become one of the world's leading oil and gas exporters, just behind Saudi Arabia.
Let's mention some other commodities here, shall we?
Actually, the Russian area of the Caucasus is most famous for its natural beauty rather than natural resources. It does provide some minerals, natural gas, oil, coal, but their quantities are not all that significant. Just enough mainly for local consumption.
And let's deal with the matter now, shall we, from the United States of America, from somebody in Virginia. He's Mr. Norman W. Hill, and he resides in Arlington. How many television networks are there in Russia, he asks. We receive REN TV here in our area in the United States of America.
Oh, I was fortunate enough to have visited Arlington, Virginia, sometimes. I love the place, beautiful. That's just across the Potomac from Washington, D.C. Now, as to your question, with the modern system of satellite communications, we can now receive practically any station in the world that wishes to be transmitted worldwide. In Moscow, we have a choice of network television stations and cable television. I cannot even begin to enumerate them or count them because there are so many of them. I do have REN TV at home, and it's free of charge. I don't have to, Yeah, I don't have
to. You don't have to pay.
No, I don't have to pay there. No, it's just free. But you can subscribe to a whole lot of cable stations from CNN, ABC, Italian television, German, French, you name it. They have it. It's entirely your choice. Personally, I have access to about 20 television stations at home. And that's more than enough for me.
And you don't pay anything?
No, I don't. No, I don't have to. It's just, if you do, it's just subscription to cable television.
I think it depends where you are in Moscow, doesn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, yeah.
And what kinds of neighbors you have, and if you've got together and got a satellite dish and all this kind of thing.
Yeah, well, you can watch CNN, you can watch MTV, cable, whatever. I mean, they have a whole lot, maybe 200 stations, whatever. It's just incredible, I mean.
But if you want all of them, I think you're looking at, is it about $15 a month?
Yeah, well, that's cheap, rather cheap. That's a, you know,
that's cheap
affordable
package, is it?
Very affordable, yeah.
I'm surprised you get time to watch television.
No, I don't. That's
I don't think many of us do.
Nah.
Oh, here's a funny question. I think we've just got time for this, haven't we? Okay. Is the Yuri who is on Moscow mailbag the same as on the old DX corner?
No. It's probably someone else, because I have never been involved with any DXing and I've never been on the old DX corner, man.
All right, that dealt with that one, did
okay.
That's another question from Canada. Of course, lots of questions from Canada. Oh, this is actually a good old friend of our radio station, George Nicholas of Toronto, Ontario. Actually, he sent us rather a lot of questions. I can't possibly, George, I'm afraid, tackle them all in this program. And I'm afraid if I ask any more questions, I'm going to completely lose my voice. So, this one goes like this. In Russian airports, is there a chapel for last-minute prayers before flight? I want to tell you something. I mean,
yeah.
I travel a lot, so do you. But you know, in most airports now, they do have a chapel, and I've never...
Yes,
they've got somewhere to pray.
Oh, I haven't heard of any.
Yes, there's somewhere to pray.
I believe that wouldn't be a good public relations policy to have one installed at any airport. Imagine how many people you would scare off, right?
No.
You'd have a chapel right in front of the airport. Who would go anywhere near that airport?
It's a quiet place normally where Muslims can perform their prayers or other people want to be quiet and pray.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that means that, statistically, you have hundreds of times more chances to get killed on the road just traveling to the airport than you can, or maybe in the air. You would agree with that, right? That's statistically...
I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That. I just can't imagine having a prayer room in good old Sheremetyevo International Airport. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that.
I'm pessimistic. What happens if it happens?
Right, that's just about it, I think, for this week. You will agree.
Yeah, okay.
My voice is rapidly going completely.
Santo que viene a morar con mi cliente.
Gracias por la pregunta. Gracias, amigos oyentes, por hacernos el favor de escucharnos una vez más. La pregunta dice, ¿por lo abierto quién es el Espíritu Santo que viene a morar con el creyente? Interesante pregunta porque el Espíritu Santo es la manifestación del Dios eterno. Este es un misterio divino de cómo Dios puede morar en los cristianos, pero el Espíritu Santo es...
On China Radio International. I'm your host, Li Peitrun.
And I'm Xiaohua. In this edition of Listener's Garden, a request of our listener, Brian Kendall, from the United Kingdom, we will introduce Pekin opera, which is widely regarded as the quintessential art form of China.
Following that, we'll continue with our listener's quiz entitled, Get to Know Your Eye. And then we'll learn about the Chinese idiom, Juyan Ximei, which is used to describe someone who deeply respects their spells.
But before all of that, let's first check our mailbox.
First from Russia, here is Dmitry Kaikinin. I recently bought a new shortwave radio receiver, which is made in China, so that I could listen to your broadcast in the office. I have two more shortwave radios at home. One has a built-in tape recorder, and I use it mainly for tape recording your broadcasts when the signal is strong. The other radio is kept on my bedside table for me to be able to catch my favorite program, China Drive, in the evening. China Drive raises my spirits for the next hour, and I thank you very much for introducing such a stimulating program.
And Dmitry continues to say, CRI is extremely listener-friendly, and listening to you has now become an essential part of my life. It's like listening to a good old friend whom you have known for years. On seeing me switch on a shortwave receiver, my 7-year-old son usually says, "Ah, China's radio again. Dad, you're hooked on it."
Спасибо, Dmitry, for your strong interest in our program. We'll forward your letter to our China Drive producers. I think they'll be happy to hear from you.
That's right. Keep on listening to our programs and sending us your feedback on them so that we can improve our programs.
And Ivan Arrighini from Italy says, from online shopping site eBay, I've just bought a new loop antenna for my receiver, so I hope to receive better signal. Now, CRI in English and Italian is a daily appointment to me.
So, Ivan, how is your new loop antenna working? We hope you can hear our programs more clearly with it.
Mohammed Yasser Ishfaq from Pakistan. CRI programs are so great, especially the features of Sunday is great. I like this very much. I'm a lover of the great worldwide radio station CRI. It has done a fabulous job. I'm very happy that I can get a lot of information from you. I think that's why daily listeners would keep on listening to CRI. And CRI is also great to promote the friendship between Pakistan and China. CRI is truly a bridge between China and the world.
Well, thank you, Muhammad, for all your kind words. Now, here is an Indonesian listener, Alex Torbeno. Hello and greetings from Bali. Let me tell you that yesterday I received a copy of Messenger. The new format of the Messenger is very good. It's a magazine format, and it's more convenient to read than the previous one. Thanks for the brilliant idea, so the Messenger is more interesting to read.
And thank you, Alex, for writing to us. And when it comes to Indonesia, we are very sorry for the latest earthquake that struck part of Indonesia. And we hope that everything is going fine with the people in quake-stricken area, and the life will come back to normal for them.
Now turning to an Indian listener, Amit Rajan. I'm very impressed by CRI English programs, and every day I enjoy your programs during the last month. I got a CRI program guide and the latest edition of the Messenger issue. It's really a nice representation of different aspects of real China. Thank you very much. I hope that our friendship will continue forever. The programs that I love include Listener's Garden, China Arises, Life in China, Frontline, and News and Reports, and many others.
Thank you all for your letters. We enjoy hearing your detailed comments on these programs. And Rian Wenhua from the U.S. About 7 years ago, I was in Hangzhou at Zhejiang Province. At the time, I liked English teaching programs very much, such as Learning Pup, Special English, and CRI News and Reports. I thought it could enlarge my vocabulary.
So now I'm happy to get the opportunity to go abroad. And now I find CRI's Listener's Garden is very good. It becomes my favorite. I think this program is very close to our real life, just like chatting with each other. By the way, Listener's Garden covers a large variety of topics. Also, Li Peichun and Xiaohua's voices sound very nice and sweet. I love listening to their voices.
Well, thank you, Xiaohua. And I guess that you're a native of Hangzhou, maybe?
And we hope that you are doing fine in the U.S.
Exactly. And maybe you can report to us on some of your interesting experiences in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And we're also glad to hear that CRI's English programs have helped you improve your English.
Exactly. Here's a U.S. listener, Dylan Rivera. I'm an actor from New York. I've been studying Mandarin for 4 years and plan to be in Beijing in late summer for language study. By accident, scanning through my shortwave radio, I came upon CRI. I think CRI is fantastic. It gives me local information and news about Beijing, and every time I listen, makes me feel that I'm actually there at the moment. I heard about the sandstorm in Beijing. I guess I will be experiencing this type of storm when I get to Beijing also.
Thanks for your letter, Vernon. Don't worry. This year's sandstorms have already left Beijing.
And you won't be experiencing sandstorms in summer. Maybe some thunderstorms instead.
Mm-hmm. However, the weather is very hot here in Beijing during the summer, so you should get prepared for that. Now let's take a short break. Listener's Garden will be right back in just a moment. So don't go away.
Presentazione per la investigadora romana con le distinte smode senza contatto. Viene a sapere che la risposta del ricordo si sarà costruttiva unità della parola.